an introduction. So many of this, so I'll just go briefly. Basically, standard cosmology has three ingredients. One is homogeneity and isotropy of the universe, which automatically leads to the Friedman-Robertson-Walker metric. Then we have general relativity, which gives, when applied to these, to this metric, gives the Friedman equation. And finally, we have the stress energy content, which, as we see it, is matter and radiation. So the problem is, if you combine these three, you necessarily get a decelerating universe. And of course, we know that the universe is accelerating, or by now we believe firmly that it is. So what is wrong here? In principle, you can modify any of these three ingredients. You can modify this to get the back reaction approach, which I'm not going to talk about. You can modify the stress energy content, which is known under the name of dark energy. Or finally, what I'm going to talk about, you can modify general relativity. So I think it became clear in Claudia's talk that there's none of these really have a natural explanation. So there's no reason, at least for me, a priori to say that it has to be, that the acceleration has to be due to the energy content. And finally, I should also say that, of course, the cosmological constant is the minimal solution that is consistent with all observations so far. Okay, you can just say, okay, let's stop working. We have the cosmological constant works, but it's really very boring because if it's lambda, then we know everything we can possibly know from cosmology. And so I hope that this will really not be the case. Okay, so modified gravity poses a theoretical challenge and an observational challenge. The theoretical challenge is, first of all, to formulate a consistent theory of gravity that accelerates cosmology and at the same time is consistent with all the constraints on gravity that we have. And the observational challenge is then, once you have such a theory, how can we distinguish this from dark energy? And with dark energy, whenever I mention it, I will always assume the smooth, uncoupled dark energy. So if you have a general coupled dark energy, then you don't have a clean division between dark energy and modified gravity. So the FFR model, for example, that Claudia already mentioned, you can, if you want, put it as a coupled dark energy. You can rephrase it in that way. So, but I will consider dark energy as the quintessence type scenarios with no coupling to matter. So the theoretical challenge is that you have to satisfy a lot of constraints. The early universe, Big Bang nuclear synthesis, CMB, is very well measured. And we know that GR works in that regime. Growth of structure is also very strong, poses a strong constraint on gravity. It has to form structure by the age of the universe now. And finally, you have the solar system, which where we also have very precise measurements of post-Newtonian parameters that really pose strict constraints. So the main idea here now is to get around these constraints is to reduced to GR in the high curvature regime. And that's neat because it applies to the early universe where the universe basically was small and under high curvature, as well as high density regions today, which we think are at high curvature as well. Now the observational challenge, how can we tell between these two alternatives? So the way dark energy or lambda or whatever it is was discovered was with supernovae, which probe the expansion history of the universe. The problem is that you can basically produce any expansion history with dark energy. Okay, so if we have an expansion history that seems to match a given modified gravity model, you cannot say that's modified gravity because dark energy could give you the same expansion history. So we have to go beyond this geometrical distance measures. We have to go beyond the background level, which is means we have to look at the growth of structure in the universe. And here, the predictions for modified gravity have been worked out in the linear regime. That means as long as density perturbations are linear, much less than unity. So these things, as I said, have been worked out. And we can now compare predictions of the growth of structure and general relativity plus dark energy with modified gravity, assuming the same expansion history, and then see how we can probe gravity. And it turns out that shear correlations are a very sensitive probe of gravity. So here, the left-hand side, I'm showing the
shear correlation coefficients, the shear power spectrum as a function of scale. So these are large scales, these are small scales for different modified gravity models as compared to general relativity plus dark energy. You can see that in this specific F of R model, you get 50% enhancement on small scales. Now, this is a quite extreme representative of this class, but still. The blue line shows the DGP model, which shows, in contrast, less structure, less growth of structure than lambda CM, or than an equivalent dark energy model. And finally, the green line is the Tevis model that Claudia also mentioned that does not contain dark matter, and it gives significantly different predictions.
Is this shear correlation?
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. I have to go fast on this. So shear correlations are basically, you measure the ellipticity of distant galaxies, and the intrinsic ellipticity of galaxies is random, but foreground mass by lensing, by distortion of the geodesics of light and the gravitational potentials induces correlations in these ellipticities, and that's what we call shear. So the nice thing about shear, as opposed to just galaxy counts, is that the shear directly measures the matter distribution, whereas galaxies, we don't know exactly how galaxies are related to the underlying mass distribution. So that's why shear correlations are especially nice. Okay, so we are, basically we can probe directly the matter distribution in the universe. And so future surveys will actually be able to probe these deviations. They will be very precise. And you can say that really weak lensing correlations will be the most sensitive probe of gravity. So this plot shows the same as I showed earlier, just with error bars expected from something future survey like LSST. And you can see that all of these models are easily probed.
The perturbation theory, you mean? Or?
Exactly. The problem is, that's exactly the point here, is that this is all restricted to the linear regime. Okay, so these are very low Ls, you know, very large scales where the density fluctuations are linear. As soon as you get to the nonlinear regime, it becomes, modified gravity becomes very complicated, which is actually the topic of my talk. Is that what you mean?
So yeah, I mean technically that's true, because in principle you can also have effects even when the density is still linear. Yes. So this I haven't dealt with in this part. So I would expect that it goes as at a small L, but I'm
so there's this R star, right? That's
yeah. So that's
these are the scales.
So yeah, this is how big is R star in DGP?
That's the problem. Yeah, it's on what sort of
but object. Order of magnitude.
No, but it depends on the object and what you consider inside of R star.
Whatever smaller object we can go with this shear.
The biggest nonlinear object is like plus.
Yeah, plus 15.
And so the smallest R star would be the largest R star for any collapsed object would be dozens of megaparsecs.
Oh yeah, this is well beyond dozens of megaparsecs because the this is larger scales than that. Because nonlinear scale is roughly 10 megaparsecs, so I'm cutting. So if you want, you can cut here if you want to be conservative.
So actually, there is no instability when you're solving this because the people talk about there's this growth in DGP.
In linear perturbation theory, you can. I think ghost appears only in the quantum.
This is
the self-accelerating.
Well, if it appears stochastically, you would see it, but not at the linearized level.
Right. Okay.
So in the simulations, I should see the ghost thing.
If you win the second order in a metric perturbation.
Well, as you would,
but not at this level.
In metric perturbation.
Yes. Definitely. If you go the self-accelerating mantra of TGP, you will run into trouble if you really if you want to simulate that, for example. But that sounds like we're doing. So yeah, out of this discussion, I think what we can conclude is that we really, the nonlinear regime is definitely an open issue that is worth addressing. And it's also very interesting because this plot shows a huge n-body simulation of structure in the universe of dark matter particles, because there's so much information in this contained in this nonlinear regime, and you can also see it in galaxy cluster. This is, you can, again, you can't see the little weak lensing structures here, but there's a vast amount of information in the nonlinear regime that we would like to use to probe gravity. And so this brings me to the modified gravity model that we've studied, which is F of R gravity, which is, for our purposes, really the simplest workable model. So PGP is somewhat more complicated, especially as people pointed out, in the accelerating branch, you have ghost issues. All these problems are non-existent in F of R gravity. So basically what we do is we modify, we generalize the Lagrangian of GR, and instead of having this 2 lambda term, the cosmological constant, we put a function F of R. And this function F of R is designed so that it gives acceleration, but it doesn't contain a cosmological constant, because if you would just put this as a constant for something, that would be cheating, right? It would be putting back in the cosmological constant. But you can tweak the parameters so that it looks like a cosmological constant, so that in the limit that we are today in the universe, it basically looks like this lambda term plus a term that is proportional to 1 over R, 1 over the curvature. And it's 1 over the curvature and not curvature squared, because if you had something here like curvature squared, it would drastically alter the early universe, which is exactly what we don't want to alter. We want to alter the universe at late times when R is small. That's why it's an inverse part of R. And this parameter F sub R naught will become clear later. So the nice thing about it is if you are somewhere where R is large, basically you go back to lambda CDN. So the hope is that this will satisfy the early universe as well as solar system constraints. Yeah, sure.
The whole analysis is probably going to be done classically, right? And if
yes.
You're doing it classically, then it's really hard to beat the cosmological constant, because the problem with the cosmological constant you didn't even see until you got to the model. So it's hard to see how this is a step forward.
Right. This is, I mean, it's not a step forward in the sense of looking for a fundamental theory. It's a step forward in, or it's just, basically the idea is to explore how much can we modify general relativity on cosmological scales and still be consistent with observations. So what do we have to look for in cosmological observations to see whether we have something that goes beyond a smooth dark energy or a cosmological constant? So it's a phenomenological approach, I would say.
So can I ask something, what if this was like something like a 1 over r expansion? So you have r constant, 1 over r, 1 over r squared, and so on. So is that, is it reasonable to think that if there is a scale in the universe for some reason, lambda times 10 to the power, then that would be other terms, 1 over r terms, that would be next order terms. Sure. Does that make sense?
People have considered it as an, yeah, as an effective first order expansion.
Well, that's the thing. My understanding of it, if you're thinking of these things as being modifications arising from sort of quantum dynamics or something, you know, dependent on the level. I don't know of any examples that give you things that are singularly dependent on R. They enlarge when the curvatures get small. That would be the hard thing to do. Right?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought that some people did manage to get that, but I'm not the right person to ask. So for us, it's, as I said, the most easy workable model. And the next step would be to look at something like DGP or similar things. So what F of R essentially is a scalar tensor theory. So like a Brand-Sticky theory, although with some subtle effects. The scalar field is given by the derivative of this function, F sub R.
And once you are within the Compton wavelength of this field, which is given by the square root of the second derivative of F, gravitational forces are enhanced by 4/3. And in addition to that, the post-Newtonian parameters are, the deviations are of order unity. So in the case of typical value that we chose here, 10 to the minus 4 for the background field value, the Compton wavelength is 20 megaparsecs. So basically, which is beyond cluster scales. So basically, that means once you're within 20 megaparsecs, you see strong deviations from GR, which of course doesn't work. Now, this model has a nice trick, which is related to, or it's basically the chameleon mechanism that Justin and Amanda Weltman proposed in 2004, which is a way to hide the effect of the scalar field when you're in high density regions. The idea is very simple. You have an effective potential of the scalar field that depends on density. Okay, so the black line here shows the potential if the overdense is zero, if you're at the background. And then you have a very shallow potential with a minimum at a high value of the field, so a very light scalar field. But once you crank up the overdensity, say here overdensity of 3, the minimum moves to very small fields and the mass goes up. And you can of course continue that to higher and higher overdensities. So that's basically the trick to hide the effect of the fifth force in the solar system. And when this effect works, then GR is restored in high density environments. However, for this to work, you can show quite simply that the background field that you have to reduce to zero shouldn't be larger than the depth of potential welds, which is of order 10 to the minus 5 in the universe today. Okay, so now the problem with modified gravity in the nonlinear regime is that it modifies a lot of things, not only the background expansion history like dark energy does. So basically, if you have some mass overdensity that collapses to form structure in the universe, galaxy cluster, galaxies, etc., lambda c, the Compton wavelength of the field, adds an additional scale. So we do expect that there will be modifications to the nonlinear structure formation that go beyond what is found in linear perturbation theory. And in addition, you have a chameleon, which is really an intrinsically nonlinear effect. So in the end, we cannot trust these well-known fitting formulas that have been measured from simulations, which are all based on general relativity. So in other words, we need a full n-body simulation of the F of R model if we want to look at it in the nonlinear regime. So just jumping ahead a little bit, this plot shows the enhancement of the matter power spectrum in F of R in the nonlinear regime. The dots are measured in simulations, and the dashed lines are predictions based off the GR fitting formulas. And you can see that they, especially as you go to smaller scales, they do not match the simulations at all. So to place constraints on modified gravity, you cannot use these fitting formulas.
And if you extrapolate to smaller scales, this will just go up, whereas this goes down. So
yeah, but there's a different scale.
And in any case, I should also point out that only the smallest field is really viable from solar system constraints perspective. But, and there are other reasons, of course, as well, because if you want to look at something else, like the halo mass function, that one you have to have simulations to measure that.
Do you have halo mass functions?
I'm getting to that actually. So the question is, on the one hand, can we model this enhancement in a better way that goes beyond these fitting functions? And that brings me to dark matter halos, which typically are considered the building blocks of nonlinear structures. So they're virialized, collapsed objects made out of mainly out of dark matter. And you can first order describe them by their abundance, by their so-called mass function, by their clustering properties or halo bias, and by their density profiles, so by the structure of these profiles. And these two are technically given by spherical collapse on what's called Kress-Schechter theory, and this is given by an empirical
formula. It's called the NFW profile. Those are details, but the main thing is that we have to verify how all of these are modified in F of R to see what modified gravity really does in the nonlinear regime. And for the mass function, the halo bias, we expect some modifications due to the scale dependence of the modifications. Basically, the Compton wavelength of the field induces a scale in this collapse that is not present in GR. So what we've done, and this is maybe not essential, but want to mention it as a first step towards modeling modified gravity in a nonlinear regime, is we looked at two limiting cases of spherical collapse. One is simply unmodified forces, basically what the fitting formulas assume, and the other is forces enhanced by 4/3, so basically assuming that you're always within the Compton wavelength. And that will be the range of predictions I show in the next plots will be based on these two limiting cases. And it's going to be interesting to see how well they bracket the actual measurements of the simulations. So that brings me to the simulations itself. So Hiro, who was a grad student in Chicago, wrote this simulation that basically solves the field equations together with the motion of particles in F of R gravity. So technically, it's a particle mesh code. So you have a grid, a density grid, that you assign the particles to. And then once you have the density on this grid, you can solve the nonlinear field equation for F sub R using a relaxation algorithm. And once you have the F of R field, you can calculate the Newtonian potential and propagate particles according to the Newtonian potential as in GR. And we also compare this with simulations that basically use a linearized field equation for F sub R, so they do not contain the chameleon mechanism. So that way we can isolate the chameleon mechanism and see what it does. And this picture shows a slice, one of the simulations today. The circles denote the 20 most massive collapsed structures. And now the same, with the same initial conditions in F of R. So if you look closely, you can see that structures on small scales become a little bit more condensed and higher in amplitude in F of R. So this filament, for example, becomes more condensed. These halos, separate in lambda CDM, merge to a single halo in F of R. So there's more mergers going on. And also, these halos, for example, move more together. So you can see really that power is enhanced on small scales. Yes, yes, definitely. So you could see that in the power spectrum enhancement that it shoots up towards smaller scales. And this plot.
Can you remind me, the 10 to the minus 4, what it means?
That's the value, the background value of the scalar field today in the cosmological background. So once you get into high density environments, this will be slightly suppressed.
So that's the derivative of F with respect to R.
Yes, and the knot denotes that it's today. And so this plot shows density, potential, and S of R field for this strong field that I showed earlier. You can see that there's only slight variation of the F of R field. So it's pretty close to its background value of 10 to the minus 4. Now, if we turn down the field, the background field, to the value of 10 to the minus 6, what you see here is that the field is strongly suppressed wherever you have matter over densities. Right? And that's exactly the chameleon mechanism at work in a cosmological simulation. So it's a neat thing. I'm coming to some measurements in these simulations. This plot shows the enhancement of the halo mass function. So the abundance of halos as a function of mass, you can see that the enhancement especially grows steeply with increasing mass. And the blue is always the full simulation, and the red is without chameleon. So as expected in the 10 to minus 4 case, we don't see a big effect from the chameleon because it just feels too strong for the potential welds to pull it down. And the spherical collapse predictions show a pretty nice match. And then if you go turn down the field, this was the strong field, now for the weak field, you can see chameleon mechanism completely changes the behavior of the mass function. So at the high mass end, basically, the field shuts, is suppressed to zero, and the mass enhancement shuts down. So there's no mass enhancement at high masses, but at low masses, there's a certain pileup because smaller halos don't have enough potential to let the chameleon act. Yes, and the halo bias, the clustering of halos is affected less by it.
Sorry, why don't the blue and red curve agree for smaller?
Where, so here it's basically a crossing point. So this is the effect, how it will look like. This is similar, this the red line is for no chameleon, and just the mass enhancement, so the enhancement of the mass function just builds up more and more to higher masses. And then once you turn on the chameleon, at high masses, the enhancement is suppressed, but there's a pileup of halos.
Oh, I see. It's just, okay, so those guys get
smaller masses. Yeah. And there's also effect of mergers, so explaining this is a little bit complicated. And you can see also that the simple spherical collapse that we did does not match these simulations at all, because the chameleon has such a strong effect, and also because of the effect of whether you're inside or outside the continent. Then finally, I think I'll skip the halo profiles. Yes.
Does it include the chameleon somehow?
No, so far it's not. So this was the very first step at modeling the FR effects. So more modeling will certainly be important to do. And this shows the power spectrum enhancement again, like earlier in the strong field case, and now with the predictions from spherical collapse. So they're not perfect, for sure not, but they at least capture the trend of reaching a maximum at a bit below one inverse megaparsec and then declining. So the modeling does perform already better than the fitting formulas. And for the weaker field, again, as expected, we sort of match the no chameleon simulations, which do not contain this extra scale of the chameleon mechanism, but we certainly do not manage to model the chameleon simulations. So here, for constraints in this regime, we definitely need more modeling.
Maybe it's five-solar system tests, because I'm assuming 10 to the minus 4, you can run into the solar system.
Yeah, 10 to the minus 4 would work. 10 to the minus 5 is unlikely to work. 10 to the minus 6 should be fine. It depends on, we don't know what potential level we're sitting at inside exactly, because the galaxy is in its dark matter halo, and the galaxy's dark matter halo is in the local group, et cetera, et cetera. So we don't know exactly. So how can we use this constraint to modify gravity? There's lots of possibilities, because with simulations, you basically have access to any observable you want, with the caveat of the finite resolution. So one thing would be the halo mass function, where the strong field case, we see 100% enhancement at the high mass end, which could already be ruled out right now with current data. And then for future constraints, the weak lensing power spectrum, again, would be very powerful. This shows basically what we would expect for LSST now going to a nonlinear regime. Remember, earlier we were limited to Ls of up to here. And now once you have a solution for the nonlinear regime, all these scales with the huge amount of signal to noise is available. So, and you can see that even the 10 to the minus 6 case would be measurable at high significance, this case. Now, this is extremely optimistic, because this is in the deeply nonlinear regime, where you also have effects of baryons, and really we need to be able to do careful modeling of this effect. But I think it's fair to say that future surveys really have the potential to constrain modified gravity extremely precisely, or to the level that they don't become, that they become uninteresting. Okay. Sure.
The expansion history in this model that I identified the Lambda City? Or?
Right, so I should have said that. The difference,
the deviations from Lambda CDM in the expansion history are of order these value f are not. So for the, yeah, I mean, or 10 to the minus 4 even will never be measured.
But in the nonlinear structure regime, you have potential to measure even those small deviations, so it's quite neat.
Yeah, so to conclude, modified gravity is, if you want, the fundamental alternative to dark energy, and the nonlinear regime of these models is crucial because, first of all, we have to prove the viability that this chameleon mechanism works and reduces gravity to GR in the solar system, and we can also use it to actually place constraints. And we've done the first self-consistent simulations of the F of R model, which really show some interesting phenomena, which we've only begun to model. And we expect somewhat similar phenomenology for the DGP model, which is definitely still to be looked at. And finally, so far we've constrained gravity, we've measured gravity from millimeters up to AU, and I hope that this is somewhat opening the door to probing gravity on megaparsec scales. Thank you.
Can you show us what the real F of R looks like that you're working with? Not the.
Oh, yeah, the real.
The attachment form that you wrote down is basically just 1 over R gravity, and that's well ruled out. So what is the full function?
Well, how do you mean 1 over R gravity is ruled out?
Well, that 1 over R gravity doesn't have a stable.
Well, that's the issue with the
expansion and doesn't.
Yes, it does. If you choose the right sign.
Oh, the right sign. Okay.
Yeah, so it has the right sign to produce a stable, basically a positive mass scalar field. So the full function is some constant, then R over some critical curvature over RC plus 1. So if you in the large curvature regime, this goes like, you know, something proportional to lambda, something proportional to 1 over r. And if you set r to 0, this goes to 0. So there's no true lambda in there, because if you put r to 0, then this actually goes to 0.
What would the potential be for the equivalent scalar
field? It's a power law. I don't know. It's basically, it looks like this. So the potential itself looks like this. And then you have the density term as well, which goes like this. It's proportional to the density. And so this is basically the chameleon effect. If you have very low densities, the minimum becomes shallow and moves up to here. If you have very high densities, the minimum moves into here and becomes very.
So some inverse power.
Yeah, some inverse power of R, of the field. So.
I was just trying to understand this point about the expected difference with DGP in some sense. So am I right in saying that the FMR model you've been studying, it's only a modification of gravity over some pretty narrow range of scales?
In a sense,
locally it's suppressed, we know that, but then you also have this Compton wavelength, which I think for your model was somewhere between 2 and 20 megaparsec.
Exactly.
On the back. So above 20 megaparsec, you recover GR.
Yes. Yes, somewhat slowly. So you can see in the power spectrum, you can see enhancement up to tens of megaparsecs for sure. But
whereas DGP, the scale goes all the way to the horizon.
Right. So in DGP, you have something roughly constant departures that then go to zero once the DGP chameleon becomes active. But how exactly that happens, and whether there's maybe a pileup of departures due to some cascading, you know, in the nonlinear regime, you get mode coupling, large K is coupling to small K. So there could be surprises as well. So.
And also, the instability, I suppose, that should kick in, right? And that's just the
Well,
yeah, because in the nonlinear regime,
would make more sense to look at the normal DGP plus lambda. Mm-hmm. because...
Oh, yeah, you're right, because on self-examining it's going to be exactly the opposite phenomenology, right? You'll have a repulsive force.
Right.
You have nothing like what you showed.
It would be the opposite, yeah.
Okay, if there's no question, I'll thank Fabian again.